Welcome to episode 1117 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Covenants define relationships. Whether it's a marriage covenant, a business contract, or a national treaty, covenants serve as binding agreements that set expectations and commitments. But of all the covenants in history, none compare to the divine covenant between God and Abraham. This was not merely a legal contract. It was a sacred, eternal agreement initiated by God himself. In Genesis 17, God reaffirms his promise to Abraham and institutes the first sign of the covenant, circumcision. This physical mark was to set Abraham's descendants apart as God's chosen people, reminding them of their divine calling. But beyond the outward sign, God was calling Abraham and his family to inward obedience and faithfulness. Today, as followers of Christ, we also bear a sign, not one of circumcision, but of the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. This passage challenges us to ask, are we living as people truly marked by God? Are we embracing his covenant with full faith and obedience? Let's look at the first two verses of Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Abraham was 99 years old when God renewed his covenant with him. This reminds us that God's plans are not limited by human timelines. For 24 years, Abraham had been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise of an heir. He had seen delays, made mistakes, and even tried to take matters into his own hands. A word about that. In Genesis 16, Abraham and Sarah, then called Abram and Sarai, struggled with waiting on God's promise of a son. Even though God had assured Abraham that he would have many descendants, years had passed, and Sarah remained barren. Frustrated by the delay, Sarah suggested a culturally acceptable but spiritually misguided solution. She offered her servant, Hagar, to Abraham as a surrogate. Abraham agreed, and Hagar conceived a child. While this seemed like a practical way to help God's plan unfold, it was actually an act of human impatience and self-reliance. Instead of trusting God's perfect timing, Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands, leading to immediate and lasting consequences. The immediate effects of their decision were tension and division. Once Hagar became pregnant, she looked down on Sarah, creating bitterness between them. In response, Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she fled into the wilderness. God, in his mercy, found Hagar and promised that her son, Ishmael, would also become a great nation, though he would live in conflict with others. While Abraham and Sarah thought they were solving a problem, they had instead introduced strife into their own household. The very attempt to fulfill God's promise by human effort resulted in broken relationships, jealousy, and suffering. A reminder that our own solutions often create more problems when they are not aligned with God's will. The long-term consequences of this decision extend far beyond Abraham's lifetime. Ishmael became the father of a great nation, just as God had foretold. But his descendants lived in ongoing conflict with Isaac's lineage, which later became the nation of Israel. This division between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac has had profound historical and spiritual implications, shaping the geopolitical tensions of the Middle East even today. More importantly, Abraham's actions serve as a lesson in faith and patience, that God does not need human interference to fulfill his promises. The story of Genesis 16 teaches us that when we act in impatience rather than trust, we often create lasting consequences that we cannot control. Instead of taking shortcuts, we must learn to wait on God, trusting that his timing and his methods are always best. But now God appeared to Abraham, reaffirming his commitment and calling the patriarch to renewed faithfulness. God introduces himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. This is the first time this name appears in Scripture, emphasizing that God has the power to fulfill his promises. Walk before me and be blameless. God was not just making promises. He was calling Abraham to obedience. To walk before God means to live in conscious awareness of his presence, seeking to align our lives with his will. God's covenant leads to multiplication. The fulfillment of God's promise was connected to Abraham's willingness to trust and obey. Obedience positions us to receive the fullness of God's blessing. God still calls his people to walk blamelessly before him. This doesn't mean sinless perfection, but a heart that is fully devoted to him. Are we walking before God in faith and obedience? Or are we allowing doubts and distractions to pull us away from his covenant promises? Genesis 17, verses 3 and 4. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations." In this passage, we see a major turning point in Abraham's life. Abram's name is changed to Abraham. Abram meant exalted father, but Abraham means father of a multitude. God was not just speaking to who Abraham was, but to who he would become. This name change signified a transformation. No longer would Abraham define himself by what he lacked, a child, but by the promise of God, descendants as numerous as the stars. God expands the covenant beyond Israel. He promises that Abraham's descendants will include many nations. This foreshadows the inclusion of the Gentiles in God's redemptive plan through Jesus. When God calls us into covenant relationship with him, he changes our identity. In Christ, we are given new names. We are children of God, heirs of the promise, a holy nation. Are we living in our new identity in Christ, or are we still defining ourselves by our past, our failures, or our limitations? Genesis 17, 9 and 10. And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised." God commanded Abraham to establish a physical sign of the covenant, circumcision. This was an outward symbol of an inward commitment. It set God's people apart from the surrounding nations. It was a reminder of God's faithfulness to generations yet unborn. Those who refused to take the sign were cut off from the covenant community. Circumcision was a serious commitment, but it pointed to something greater. Later in Scripture, God emphasized that the real mark of his people was not physical circumcision, but a circumcised heart, a heart fully devoted to him. Moses declared the following in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." In the New Testament, Paul declares that believers in Christ are circumcised spiritually through faith. Colossians 2, verse 11. "In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ." Baptism replaces circumcision as the outward sign of faith in Christ. It symbolizes dying to the old self and rising to new life in Christ. We must allow God to circumcise our hearts. Are there areas of our lives that need to be cut away? Pride, sin, fear, or self-reliance? We are called to be set apart. Are we living as distinct people, different from the world, reflecting God's holiness? Genesis 17 teaches us that being in covenant with God is not just about receiving promises. It's about walking in obedience and transformation. Abraham's faith was tested as God called him to deeper trust and a deeper commitment. Today, God calls us into an even greater covenant through Jesus. We are not marked by circumcision, but by faith, obedience, and the indwelling Holy Spirit. The question is, are we living as people who truly belong to God? This is your takeaway challenge. Walk before God and be blameless. Live in daily faith and obedience. Embrace your new identity in Christ. Let go of old labels and walk in who God says you are. Let your heart be circumcised. Remove anything that hinders your relationship with him. The first sign of the covenant marked Abraham's descendants physically, but God wants to mark us spiritually. Will you allow him to set you apart for his glory? Will you walk in the identity he has given you? Choose today to live as a person truly marked by the covenant of grace. Father, thank you for calling us into covenant with you. Help us to walk blamelessly before you, trusting in your promises even when we don't see them yet. Circumcise our hearts, Lord, and set us apart for your purposes. May we reflect your holiness and faithfulness in all we do. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.